It has got 9:30 Central African time. You've got Mufti Zubair Bayat of Darul Ihsan online. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Mufti Sahab?
Alhamdulillah, very well. You've got Maulana Habib. So long lost Maulana Habib.
How are you doing, Mufti Sahab? Mashallah, mashallah.
Looks like you've had a bad flu, Maulana.
Allah. After it, I was on Safar Ji, Mufti Sahab.
Allah grant shifa.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Sahab, talking about the flu, we were busy discussing the etiquette of visiting the sick person. Then we discussed the du'as to be read when visiting a sick person. Well, that was the last discussion we had last week. There was no program. And perhaps we can continue, or we could look at other topics, Mufti Sahab.
Yes, well, I think, alhamdulillah, we have sort of discussed that subject matter. I think it was one of the, Maulana Daya or someone, 2 weeks ago, we had completed the discussion.
Perfect.
On, you know, aspects relating to the sick and what is how it's to be seen from an Islamic point of view, sickness and visiting the sick and so on. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss a brand new subject matter, and that is relating to the importance of good mannerism and etiquette and consideration for people and not inconveniencing people. Little things in life that count a lot in terms of, you know, keeping good relations and maintaining good relations and enjoying harmonious relations. So these are the things that, inshallah, we would like to highlight in today's discussion.
Jay Mufti Sahab, I know you speak on that topic, but you know, we've been following a lot of messages on social media, from particularly from your side, and talking about the spiritual stamina and how to build for Ramadan. If Mufti Sahab allow, maybe if you feel it's appropriate, maybe we could discuss that, Mufti Sahab.
Okay, we could possibly discuss that. I was thinking we'd leave that for next week, Maulana, inshallah.
Oh, okay, Mufti Sahab.
So that, you know, as close as possible to Ramadan, we could possibly touch on that subject so that it remains a bit more fresh with us. You know, it could be appropriate to welcome the month of Ramadan with the subject of that matter, inshallah.
Perfect.
So, JazakAllah for actually even reminding me about that important discussion. But we'll try and reserve that for next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So in this week, inshallah, just basic things we want to touch on. You know, it's the simple things in life that that make a difference. Simple things relating to our day-to-day habits, for example. Relating to our eating, our habits of eating, our mannerism of eating, sleeping, of living, how we keep ourselves, our own selves as far as our cleanliness is concerned, our cleanliness of our room, of our house, of the spaces we occupy, of public places, relating to public facilities like, you know, the masjid, the madrasas, the halls, the facilities there, the ablutions, the parking, you know, things relating to appointments, you know, things, social mannerism, things that affect people on a day-to-day basis, the way we interact with them. We can either be a source of comfort and joy for the people around us, or we could be an absolute nuisance and an inconvenience and a misery for the people around us. And many a times people think, well, this is just a personal thing. What has it got to do with Islam and with Deen? But this is actually a complete misunderstanding and a lack of knowledge of Deen to believe that these things have nothing to do with the Deen. these things are definitely related to the deen. They are very much connected to the deen, and the deen has taught us the finer aspects of etiquette and mannerism and conduct and consideration and respect to the people around us. This is very much part of our deen.
Mm.
Now, for example, we find that in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that you should not inconvenience people by way of your hands or your tongue. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. Now, it's such a broad principle that encompasses all of the things that we spoke about. You should not be a cause of inconvenience to anyone by way of your actions or by way of your sayings or your words. But you should be a source of comfort and relief to the people. Now, take some practical examples. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the food was brought, the dasturkhan was laid out, the platter of food was placed before Sahaba. A youngster by the name of Umar bin Abi Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was in the foster care of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, he starts eating and his hands are moving across the platter from this end to that end and so on. He's eating from here and there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches him, nurtures him, trains him. He says that eat what is in front of you. Kul mimma yaliq. It's a little bit, rewired, a bit longer. Sabbillaha. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكْ وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكْ. But I'm talking about the part of كُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكْ. Eat from that which is nearest to you. Don't eat across the plate when there's a whole lot of people eating from the same platter. You will annoy the people around you because they will say, look at this person, I mean, he's got food in front of him, why must he stretch across and eat from the part I'm eating in? So this is part of our deen. These are things that have been taught. In one narration, it has been reported that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited from taking, you know, two items together when it's been offered. Say, for example, there's a platter of khajur or dates. You shouldn't take two at one time. Take one. And then, if there's a surplus and you are offered, then take another one. But don't just grab a handful or take two or three for yourself, and there are others around, and it may be that they don't get a share. So this is clearly from the teachings of our deen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this, that you should be considerate towards others, you should be cognizant of others that are around you. Don't take and don't show display greed at that time that you're taking more than the share of everyone else. So the example here is that of the dates. But you could apply the same thing to chocolates, for example.
Mm.
Or to fruits.
And I don't know if Mufti Sahib have noticed at the walima table or the function, if there's two legs, then maybe take only one leg.
Exactly, but there are some people who take two legs and they say, well, you know what, you can't walk with one leg, you need two legs to walk.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, but yes, Mawlana, you know, these are those little things. But the little things become big things, you know.
Hmm.
At the walima table, for example, if a person is dishing out and, you know, taking out so much that he doesn't leave for others, and the food runs short on the table, then it's such an embarrassing thing.
Mm.
And people notice these things and they feel offended with this kind of behavior.
Indeed.
In fact, what we find is that often at wedding functions, etc., due to greed, people will go and dish out much more than what they can really eat.
Oof, yes,
then they eat half and they throw the rest of it away. And nobody wants to eat the leftover food now. And it's unnecessary wastage of Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat dish out a little amount which you are comfortable with. And if you feel hungry, you can always have a second helping. But don't dish out so much that you can't even finish it yourself and nobody else will finish it and it will end up in the dustbin.
Mm.
So, Maulana, these things are very much part of our deen. Many a time people think, what has this got to do with deen?
Mm.
This is a function. I'm free to take how much I want. No, it's not. You have to consider the rules and regulations of deen even as far as these things are concerned. Do not, behave in a manner that will annoy people. Do not behave in a manner that will upset people around you. Don't be a nuisance. Even if it's inadvertent and even if it's unconscious, you should not be an unconscious person. You should not be an unmindful person. You should not be a heedless person that you don't care or you are not mindful of these things. Yes, if a person is mazur now, maybe there's some mental imbalance or, some kind of mental condition, then you can say that person is excused. Sharia has also excused such a person. But if we're doing this whilst we are mentally sound, but just because we are not conscious of these things, then it is very, very unbecoming to do such things. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be so considerate regarding these things that even when it came to the sleeping of the people around him, when he entered the masjid, he made salam. But the salam was of a very low tone, so that those who were awake would hear him and reply to him, and those who were fast asleep would not hear him and they would continue sleeping. He was the Nabi of Allah, he was the Ustad, he was the teacher, he was the Sheikh, he was the mentor, he was the leader, he was the guide. He had the right to make a loud salam when he entered the masjid and all to have got up and replied to his salam. But look at the consideration of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the people who were sleeping, that he deliberately did not make the salam loudly, so that the sleeping people would not be disturbed. But those who are awake, they would be able to hear. They would be able to hear and they would be able to reply. Now, similarly, when he was at home with his wives, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home late at night, he would make the salam in such a low tone that the people who would be sleeping would not be disturbed. And when he entered the home, he entered so quietly that the people who were sleeping would not be able to, they would not be disturbed. You know, often we find that there are certain people who are light sleepers. Now, you enter the room, the door is opened loudly, it is banged closed, you use the bathroom, you open the door, you bang the door. So obviously those who are light sleepers, they get disturbed by this kind of noise.
Gee.
So one has to be considerate. Open the door silently, close it silently. You don't have to make a noise or commotion when you are entering the room, especially if somebody is asleep, even if it's your own wife, if it's your own children. One has to be considerate about these things. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would distribute food items to the people around him, then he would be the last one to partake. Give others preference over himself. The others would eat. When they were satisfied, then he would eat right at the end. It wasn't that he first took his own share and kept it one side, and he said, right, now you people come, let me give you. It wasn't like that at all. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the milk to the Ashabu Suffa in the famous hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. And he gave him the responsibility to distribute the milk, and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was taking it from person to person. And then at the end, it was him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. And at that point in time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to Abu Huraira, and he gave preference to him over himself. And he told him, you drink. Until Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't drink to his full, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited. Then at the end, when whatever was left behind, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partook of that, and he demonstrated again the fine mannerism and conduct of a believer, that you put others before you. He had the first right, and nobody would have objected. Nobody would have said that, listen, why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having before us? They would have preferred and they would have loved for him to have before them. But despite the fact that he enjoyed that position of superiority and seniority amongst them, he could have did as he wanted, but no, subhanallah, he demonstrated his beautiful conduct and mannerism, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be the last of all to partake. So these are simple things, Maulana. If you have, let's say a tablecloth is laid out and there's limited number of, say, pieces of fish, or say steaks or chops, few pieces of chops on the table. Now, if one person takes 3 pieces of chops or, 4 pieces of fish, obviously there are people sitting around the table, they will probably won't get a piece or a share. Because Hazrat took 5 pieces for himself first, and he gave no consideration to the people around him. No, take 1 piece, and then after others have taken and there is something left over, then by all means take your 2nd piece then. But don't take the 2 pieces at one time. This is against the teachings of the Sunnah. The Nabi also prohibited that you should take 2 khajur or dates at one time from the platter. So if that applies to a small thing like dates, it will apply to a greater extent to something that is bigger than dates. So we see from this that these are all the fundamental and basic things of our deen. Also we find that whatever we use in the house or anywhere in the office, we use something that is used by everyone, then make it a point to go and leave it where it was, so that the people, when they're looking for it, they don't struggle to find it. Now, where is this thing gone? Simple things, the hairbrush, the nail clipper, maybe some utensils that are used, the bunch of keys, the car keys. Keep it in its place. If you go and leave it somewhere, for example, the house keys. Now, the key was supposed to be kept at a certain place, most probably, like a key ring or something where, or a key stand or a unit where it hangs normally. It's not placed there at night. For example, the son came home late, so he, Mr., kept the key in his pocket. And the father gets up Fajr time, and he wants to leave for Salatul Fajr, and now he's looking for the house key. Now he can't find it, looking here, there, where is it? It's supposed to be hanging here. Where did it go to? He doesn't know where to find. Now he's getting late, he's getting upset, he's getting agitated. He's going to miss his Jamaat. Finally, he can't find the key, and the Jamaat is also over.
Allah.
Now, what does that lead to? Doesn't it lead to tension and unhappiness and frustration in the home? Now, all that was required was for that youngster, when he came home, take the key and hang it in its place. Little things, you use some things from a unit, you took it away, you didn't put it back in its place. Now when he's looking for that item, he can't find it. So this is all part and parcel of the broad-based teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not to cause any kind of inconvenience to anyone in any way. Another example is, you know, we may take something on loan from someone. You borrowed a thing from your neighbor, maybe a tool, a hand tool, a garden tool, or maybe a book, or some plug or some appliance or whatever it may be. As soon as you used it, return it. Don't keep it there and hold on to it and wait for the neighbor, poor neighbor must come and ask, oh, can you please return my extension cord? I need it now for something.
Sure.
Why were you so negligent? When you needed it, you went quickly to go and take it. But when you needed to return it, you should have been more quicker in returning it than when you went to go and take it. But we will find that people will take things, they will keep it, and then at the end when it's needed, then they'll return it after a long time, inconveniencing the people around them. In future, that person will think twice about lending something. Or if he lends it to, he'll do it very grudgingly and hesitatingly. So why do we do things like that that will cause unnecessary inconvenience to people? We borrow a dish, for example, some utensil. Etiquette is make sure we wash it clean. And when we return it, etiquette is that we should put something in it and return it. Don't send it back empty. This will reflect appreciation. And it will also gender love and good relations between the people. People will feel, they won't feel bad, they won't feel anything in borrowing items in future, because they will say, these people, mashallah, they are so considerate, they give it back on time. And look, they even gave something from their side. Not that you ask for it. But this is how the beautiful mannerism of our deen is a source of comfort for ourselves and for the people around us.
Mashallah.
Similarly, Maulana, you know, when it comes to your personal hygiene, cleanliness, etc., we should not be untidy, we should not be, a source of discomfort for the people around us. Use ether, use a good scent, smell nice. Do not, go out in public with the stench emanating from your clothing, your garment. Be neat and be tidy. Don't be shabby in the public, that people see you in a condition that they feel, you know, what you could say, squeamish around you. They don't feel comfortable being around a person who's untidy and so on. You know, even little things like cutting nails, etc. If a person goes in public all the time with long nails, people's gaze falls on it, they don't feel happy and comfortable. I mean, that is that person's choice. He wants to keep his nails long or short, it's up to him. But it definitely makes the opposite person uncomfortable. So we should not be a source of discomfort for the people around us. And it's part of our deen to maintain hygiene and cleanliness. So these are what we would say little things in life, you know. But it is these little things that go a long, long way. A similar situation is, for example, the public places. The parking. Park properly. Park as per the rules and requirements. Park in the designated spaces. Don't jam people. Don't jam people's driveways. Constant problem, Maulana, in all our masjids. You know better, the big nights and other such occasions. To keep on announcing repeatedly, the MC will get pieces of paper. Driver of ND 1-782-4232, please remove, that's my number plate, move your car. You're blocking the driveway, please take your car out quickly, somebody's in an emergency, they have to leave, you know, things like that. We should, even if we had to rush, for example, for Salah, because we wanted to make it for first Salah, so we double parked, or we parked across somebody's driveway, or we blocked somebody's car. As soon as our first Salah is over, immediately come out of the masjid. Don't even make salam to anyone. Don't greet anyone. Don't stand and make stories with anyone. Come out, go and move your vehicle. Then you come back and read your sunnah and all of that. Don't read your sunnah even at that time. Because that 2-3 minutes that you're reading your sunnah, you're inconveniencing somebody who may be in a hurry to leave.
Subhanallah.
So these are the basic things, you know, of not causing inconvenience to anyone. A person comes, subhanallah, we've seen cases, people come and park, and they're reading long, long rakats, and they jam the whole masjid driveway. 5 cars can't come out because 1 person. And the man walks out like nothing happened. Nothing. Like, you know, in Afrikaans, the word
munkhapla.
They use. But he's like, nothing happened. He just takes a cool walk to his car, jumps in and drives off. No apology, no excuse to anyone, no, you know, saying I'm sorry, nothing. Person feels like, you know, he's done nothing wrong. People can wait for me. What stay there to wait for me? It actually smacks of an attitude of a don't care attitude.
Allah.
So, you know, these are the simple things. And this is what makes the difference between a good Muslim and a Muslim who needs rectification in his life. And these are the things that can win over people to Islam or chase people away from Islam. They're not impressed by our ibadat, Marana.
Mm-hmm.
You can read long, long rakats of namaz. The people from outside, they don't come inside to see how many rakats of nafil namaz you read today. But they, when they see your mannerism, you got a non-Muslim neighbor, you don't ever inconvenience them, you don't park in their space, you don't, you know, block their driveways, you're always courteous, you are always cordial, you are always respectful, you greet nicely, you are cheerful when you meet them, and you're always obliging to help them when they need your help, and you not cause them any kind of inconvenience, you're not a nuisance to them in any way. That is what will attract them to Islam. But again, another aspect is noise. Be very considerate towards people when it comes to issues of noise. They use a term nowadays, noise pollution, Maulana.
Gigi.
It's a, you know, like you have pollution of in the form of dirt and garbage, you also have noise pollution. So you're polluting the atmosphere with your noise. Don't play things so loudly that the neighbors are inconvenienced. Do not leave your things blasting even in your car. And the last thing that should be blasting from the car is music, Allah forbid.
Allah.
But even your qiraat and your nazams, don't let the nazams be blasting that you're driving down, the whole neighborhood can hear the nazam playing from your car. Okay, you got a very expensive sound system, so what?
Maybe he's trying to show you change his life.
But it doesn't give you the right to inconvenience the people around you. Even in your home. You don't need to turn the radio on very loudly or the audio on loudly, that those people who are busy with other things, they are inconvenienced. Put the headphones. At night when you're going to sleep and you want to listen to something and your partner, your spouse is sleeping, or your children are sleeping, don't disturb their sleep by putting it on loud. Put the earphones on and listen on the earphones. So these, again, as we say, may be little things, but they are actually big things. They are very important things. And these are the things that make a distinction between that person who is al-Muslim, the true Muslim, as compared to the person who is Muslim in name, but not in his actions and doings and deeds. So therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih, to show the true Muslim, the genuine, the real Muslim is that person that he is an embodiment of consideration and care and respect for the people and the things around him. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we take these things seriously, we make it part and parcel of our day-to-day life, and we do not become a means of inconvenience to anyone in any way. We do not become a nuisance to anyone in any way, but in actual fact we become a source of comfort and relief for the people around us. Jazakumullah Maulana, I think we are almost up with the time, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed.
So we end off on this note, and inshallah, till next week we meet up and we'll discuss further topics, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan, Muftisab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.